When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Thursday at 9 p.m. and we're back on Fantasy Football Scout. And as always, I'm here with Praz for Deadline Dilemmas. How's it going, Praz?
Going very well. And as always, there's spanners in the works late on a Thursday evening so that just before we stream, we have to react to new information, which is all lovely because that's why we stream on a Thursday.
This seems to happen like so often. Like I'm thinking like, you know, any free time I've got in the day, I'm thinking about, you know, what I'm going to be doing, what people might be doing. And then we get, I mean, do you want to elaborate on what's happened, the possible spanner?
Well, the Watkins news is what it is. And obviously that combines with Darwin Nunes getting a nice rest before their game in the Europa League. And for people like you with João Pedro, Lallana's not in the squad. So that's also a little small thing. But yeah, the Watkins news is the big one.
It's a small thing to most people, but to me, that was the best news of my day. The Lallana thing, that is. And we don't know what's going on there. But yeah, I guess today we're going to go through our dilemmas, but probably mainly more general dilemmas for the community. Because there seems to be a lot based on, you know, strategies people have gone down. Teams are looking quite diverse. Some teams are looking very, very similar though.
They are. Well, yours and mine is pretty similar. And I think a lot of Wildcard 10 teams are similar because they started with a structure that people are converging towards now, which is the, you know, a 6.5 made, a Palmer, a Saka, Son and Salah. So that midfield is a little bit more coveted. You know, a lot of our Wildcard 10 template had an Arsenal defender, which people are looking to get now. So this is why we didn't want to focus this stream on our teams, because our teams are actually, you know, touch wood, looking okay. And that's the first wood reference of the stream. and so we thought we'll go through other people's dilemmas. But let's quickly discuss our team. And I say our team in a sense of our
team. It literally is our team. And just before we get to that, Fantasy Football Scout, they've got a 7-day trial at the moment. And there's also 20% off as well. So you can try it out and you get 20% off, you know, if you want to continue with that. For those watching on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe. I believe we're on Twitter or X today as well.
Oh yeah, let me check that. Is that working? By the way, the 7-day free trial, people should consider doing it like on a Saturday. You get 7 days of, you know, you can get data for Saturday, you get for the midweek game, and you get for the next game week. So tactically think about it. Saturday is a good day.
If you're looking for an edge of when to sign up for Scout.
A bit like how people are signing up to Prime now suddenly, right? Because the midweek games are on Amazon Prime for UK viewers.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm looking forward to that. That's not far away now either. But while you check if we're on X, I'm going to put, like you said, our team on the screen. Sure. Like we said, we'll touch on this briefly and then we'll get onto more general points. So we've basically got exactly the same team. We've got the same starting 11 this week after Praz's transfer. And I mean,
This is sad. I can promise you we didn't copy each other. We started with different teams. We've just merged into similar teams. But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, there's been no copying. I kind of wish I'd gone for Lascelles over Livramento, but that's obviously, you know, that's a very, very small thing. So I guess we should start with, because you've done your move already, and most people probably know what that is already, but.
Yeah, so I did cash to Saliba, and I had to do it because I had 0.2 in the bank, and one was rising, one was dropping, and I think Saliba could even double rise. So I just thought, it felt safe because I have a very good first sub, which is Chris Wood, and I have a very good first sub defender also in Livramento, who I'm fairly confident in. So I just thought it's a good opportunity. Normally, I don't like early transfers, as people know.
How long will you be staying on Arsenal or double Arsenal defence for? Do you know that in your mind yet?
I think a couple of weeks. So at least the next two fixtures, and then we'll see. If there's no other problems and I'm sitting in your position, like, you know, two free transfers, I may consider Saliba out for a Porro or a James. Maybe more likely to be James, given his fixtures turn from game week 16. But at the same time, I think those are easy holds as well, even if there's tougher fixtures. So I think I've penciled in not to have double Arsenal defence, but it's not a must that I need to get rid of them.
Okay. And I'm assuming there's going to be no hit this week.
No chance. I mean, let's address the Watkins thing up front before we get into anything else. So I think what Emery has said is, to interpret basically something so nothing is lost in translation, having watched the interview, what he's saying is he was 50-50 for this game, and so they decided to rest him. Whether that means he's out for Bournemouth, which is on Sunday, nobody knows. But the feeling is that, you know, he's saying it is a rest, which he said yes to, because he was feeling some pain yesterday. We will have another press conference from him tomorrow. And unless he rules him out, for me, there is no chance that I'm selling him. Because for me personally, I have a very good first up. Chris Wood home to Everton. You know, if Watkins misses out, then I'm happy to sort of have Wood to come in. But if for other people, if their team is, you know, struggling, or they don't have a good first sub and they're not confident, or if Emery is a little bit more sort of giving us hints that Watkins is out, I think Darwin Nunez or Isak, both are really, really good options and with high upside over this period, but also options with lower minutes expectancy, especially when you have a midweek game, week 15, where games come thick and fast. So for me, Watkins is a superior pick, even with tougher fixtures, if he's fit.
Would you feel differently? I've said that would. Would you feel differently about it if you had Archer, for example, as your first sub, but you've used your transfer? Because a lot of people have used their transfer early this week.
Maybe, but depends on my first defender. Although Archer is fine. I mean, he's playing Burnley at the end of the day. Having said that, I think we're both starting Charlie Taylor because we don't rate the Sheffield United attack. So there's a reason for that. So Archer is fine as a pick, especially if Emery comes out and tomorrow says, you know, we are hopeful or he looks better. There's no reason to.
Yeah. I mean, my initial thought, and it is, I mean, I've only read the quote. I didn't even listen to it. The only thing that gives me a little bit of worry is they're at home and he's not even on the bench. That seems strange because he generally would be on the bench if he's rested. But I don't want to get carried away and just sell him for the sake of it because I've got two free transfers. But then I do need to use a transfer as well. I guess that's the one difference we've got. You've used your transfer. I think let's say I use my transfer, I had none left, I'd happily play Pedro after, you know, what we've seen tonight. But I feel like I have to use one or I lose it. I have toyed with just burning it, but that's not going to happen. I think I will bring in Kelleher for, not to jump ahead to goalkeepers, but I'll probably bring in Kelleher for the Brentford backup keeper, whose name I can't pronounce correctly.
Strakosha. Yeah, that's right.
That sounds good.
But let's finish on Watkins first. So if people like you, and there's a few others in your position that have the luxury of two free transfers, really nothing else to do in the team, and if tomorrow Emery is saying he's still 50-50, we will see if he's ready for the game or not, I can understand you doing it because, you know, you're doing it for an Isak who's home to Man United, or you're doing it for a Darwin Nunez who's home to Fulham. So I get it, because you then have two free transfers again to either fix it, although buying back Watkins won't be the same price as what you sell him at, and you probably won't even be able to afford Watkins back in a one move. So that's something to think about. But then you've made your bet that you're not playing him in the next two or three games, and then you'll probably get him back, or maybe you won't even get him back. Caveat, game week 18, the blank game week, he's probably the best captain. He's home to Sheffield United.
I think you've nailed my concern with that, like bang on there, and it is literally the money. If you look at my team, my defenders, you know, they're pretty cheap. Like, I've got the two Arsenal, which I'm happy with for a couple of weeks, but then it's like Taylor, Livramento and Maguire. I think I'm only holding on to Maguire because he's cheap and I can play him in game week 16. So yeah, buying him back will be a problem. So that's my concern with selling him. I mean, obviously he's got two pretty tough fixtures, you know, after Bournemouth. I mean, City at home and Arsenal at home. I guess the only good thing is they're at home. Like, that's the only silver lining there. And you are buying Darwin, who has, I mean, obviously he's been pretty nailed on to start, but he's not a 90-minute man. He's not going to play 90 minutes all three games.
Not in the spirit. And Liverpool plays Sunday, midweek, Saturday. It's the shortest turnaround possible. Villa do that as well. But for me, Villa with Watkins, it's about if he's fit, he plays. If he's not fit, he won't play. It's not like he's going to be taken off on the 60th minute or something like that.
I guess if he does have some underlying pain, that likelihood could increase.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think we're going to get more before the deadline as well. I think people are going to be looking at training photos. I mean, there won't be a press conference if previous Thursdays are to be relied upon.
No, sometimes you have them still. Sometimes they still have a Friday conference, even after the Europa League game.
Okay. I always assumed it was the stuff from, you know, the night before. So, yeah, I'm not 100% on that. So,
I'm not either, but I'm still hopeful that we'll hear from Emery tomorrow.
Anyway, I wouldn't be moving on that tonight. That's going to be one right until the deadline, which is obviously later on Saturday as well. So
it is 3 p.m. Yeah.
So, I mean, Watkins to Darwin's not off the table for me. That's one I will consider. I mean, obviously, if Watkins is out, I would do it. I mean, obviously, I've got Pedro as a sub, but I need to use a transfer. And Chelsea away doesn't seem a prime fixture, despite
Would you do Darwin or Isak?
I would go Darwin, 100%. I feel like I'm underexposed with Liverpool with those three fixtures.
Okay. Well, I mean, Isak, for me... is the better longer term hold beyond the 3 weeks, because obviously Darwin minutes concerns over Christmas remain, right? I mean, he's a first choice, to be clear, before Liverpool fans come after me. He's clearly first choice. But over the period where he has Gakpo right there, I don't expect him to start everywhere. Whereas Isak, without Wilson, should pretty much start every game. And more importantly, game week 18, he plays Luton.
And then you probably don't have to worry about Watkins. So I get that. That's I guess you do have to worry about the return of Wilson, although I think that was 6 week timeline.
It's six weeks. He's not going to be back by game week 18.
No, I guess with it when they're so compressed. So yeah, I hadn't actually thought about Isak that much. And I do like penalties.
Pens, exactly. That's the other thing.
Yeah. I mean, Villa are through in Europe, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Newcastle, I mean, they're still going.
Oh, you mean Liverpool? Liverpool will be through. Yeah, they're winning today.
Liverpool are through. Sorry, long day at work today, Praz. And then Newcastle. They've obviously still got something to play for in Europe. You know, it's going to be tough for them. But that kind of worries me as well. I mean, we saw it with Wilson getting a lot of early subs, you know, even when he was playing. So is Isak going to be managed a bit?
Of course he is.
This is the question. None of them are like... This was the nice thing about Watkins. You knew he was going to get 90 minutes every single week. And I kind of could forgive him not having penalties.
Fair. I think it's very tricky, to be honest. And I am still off the camp that he's a hold. I mean, unless you're in an ultra-luxury position, I don't think you do anything. But let's see. I think enough on Watkins. We don't know anything more than what we've discussed.
One more brief thing on him. I think I'd almost rather... do it now if I was going to do it, because I think I'll get to next week and then it genuinely becomes a possible sell because of the fixtures anyway.
Who, Watkins?
Watkins, yeah. So I'd hate to wait a week, not jump on Darwin and then have to do it anyway, missing one of the, you know, the good Liverpool fixtures.
Fair.
Especially with a transfer burning the hole in my pocket.
Yeah, but again, I think we're now repeating, but if then you're saying bye to Watkins for a while. And that's my only worry, that Watkins fixtures, I mean, at home, Villa are still a good team. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, you know, it's terrible. I mean, Man City is the bad one. Arsenal at home, I think they're good for a goal. And then you have Brentford away, which is fine. Then Sheffield United at home. Man United away is a great fixture. Burnley at home is a great fixture. So it's basically you're saying, no, I don't think you'll have the luxury to get him back. How will you get him back? You don't even have money. I mean, you'll have to sell João Pedro to get Watkins back, basically.
It would have to be João Pedro or one of the Arsenal defenders. But then they'd have to come down. And you've already mentioned, like, targets in the future, James and Porro.
Similar price.
Yeah, exactly. So then you might have to give up on going for one of those. But yeah, it's a mess. It's not a decision I wanted to have. I kind of like Watkins as that glue guy, you know, set and forget. Don't have to worry about it. And now there's that nagging doubt in the back of your mind. But
indeed. It's the curse of the two free transfers.
Say that again, sorry?
It's the curse of two free transfers.
Yeah, I mean, it is a nice one to have. It is a nice one to have, but it didn't go well last time with the Livramento move because...
Yeah.
I mean, that would almost move into defenders, like Tsimikas.
Yes, exactly. That's what I ended up doing the last time I had two free transfers.
Yeah, I mean, do you have that feeling to get him back? I mean, I know you've obviously got no transfers now, but... There's part of me that wants him. I know Charlie Taylor's got a great chance at a clean sheet. And that's actually, I've been following the clean sheet odds and they've actually increased throughout the week. Yep. So I've kind of, in my mind, I'm quite happy playing Charlie Taylor now. But I mean, Tsimikas would be the one I'd want, you know, or Trent.
I mean, of course. I mean, Trent and Tsimikas is like comparing Salah and Diaz. I mean, of course, Trent is amazing if you can get to him, but I don't think people can get to him. But I think, yeah, Tsimikas has good high upside. But I would just caution one thing on him. Mm-hmm. If you're buying him now, then again, it's the whole fixture crunch. You know, Gomez started today. Tsimikas started today. Will he start all three? Maybe. Maybe he gets some early subs and it actually turns out okay. But don't be surprised if he misses one. I don't think anyone can be surprised there, just given how, you know, how tight their fixture, their schedule is. And the other thing is, just on Liverpool defense, how many times have we watched a Liverpool game where Alisson completely bails them out? And this is also, by the way, relevant for Kelleher. Like, it's not when you lose your best player. I think after Salah, Alisson's their best player. You could even argue he's their best player outright. He's certainly one of the best keepers in the world. When you lose them, then their defense does suffer. Already a defense that doesn't have Robertson. So that's also something to take into account, that it is a slightly worse defense than when Alisson plays.
No, I mean, it's a valid point. I suppose it just... And I've been going round and round in circles about Kelleher and Tsimikas, particularly Kelleher. And I have been thinking that. I think the only thing that gives me comfort is just because their fixtures are still very, very good. So, I mean, I guess hindsight's going to be the perfect thing here. If people are looking to go for Kelleher... I mean, one of the questions we had actually was from FPL team, Peter. He was saying, could you see Kelleher outscoring Areola by, I think it was 4 points over the next three game weeks? Oh, your sound's gone, Praz.
Yeah, no. He's saying, yeah, sorry, I was on mute. Is he worth a transfer is basically what he's trying to say.
Yeah, but it's more the transfer out, isn't it? I guess if he's saying if it's worth 4 points. Because again, if you're in a situation where you've got two free transfers... Because it is an increased chance of clean sheets. I mean, we've got Rob T's slide coming up in a minute. But, I mean, they've got a better chance of a clean sheet than West Ham this week, even though Palace haven't got Eze.
Very slightly, though. Very slightly. I mean, if you look at... I mean, I'm on review projections. Areola is 3.8. Kelleher is 4.0. So it's 0.2 difference this week. Next week, Areola is 3.2. Kelleher is 3.8. So next, you know, game week 15 is... 0.6, that's reasonably higher.
And then Kelleher's West Ham have got Spurs, haven't they? Spurs
correct,
away.
Correct. So there's a save point there for Areola. And then Areola's 3.5 and Kelleher's 3.7. So there's a total of one EV difference over three game weeks, not four. So is he worth 4 points? The answer is probably not.
See, clean sheet, I always find it hard because with projections, I always find goalkeepers... I don't know if I should be picking and choosing stuff, but I don't always fully trust goalkeeper projections as much. And I actually prefer to look at like clean sheet odds.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember speaking to Mikael Tokvam years ago when I did surgery, and he has a model, and his defenders, he basically says, don't trust them. I can't project defenders. And I feel like that with goalkeepers a little bit. I mean, people who don't like Edison will probably agree with that, but that's not the point I'm making. It's more, I just look at the clean sheet odds, and the clean sheet odds are definitely there. I guess there's other things to factor in. Like if West Ham do keep that clean sheet against Palace, he's probably going to get bonus points and all that jazz.
Yeah. Look, I think Kelleher is not relevant to everyone. The news is that Alisson will be back in after three game weeks. So basically what Klopp said is he's definitely out for the Europa League game. He's definitely out for Sunday. After that, perhaps one more week. Or, you know, there was a little bit of a pause and then he said, and one more week after. So it's basically you're talking three game weeks. And then he's probably a transfer out because in due course, if Liverpool reach the Carabao Cup final, they will blank in game week 25. And that game against Luton in game week 25 will be rearranged around that time. So in game week 23, 24 or 26, something like that, you could have a Liverpool double game week, including a Luton at home game.
It's probably quite niche because obviously I've got two transfers, but I feel like it's a free transfer because I literally otherwise the alternative is burning. So I guess it's just the point you're making is it's the transfer out.
Correct. It's just the transfer out for you.
Yeah.
For other people, it's transfer in and transfer out.
Yeah. And I think that's where you've got to be careful. I think doing the transfer in and out, yes, that adds up to, you know, two free transfers is worth a lot. But
I'll definitely buy a Kelleher over burning a transfer for you.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's really high up my list. And one of my thoughts for it as well is I do want Flecken. Like, we haven't got confirmation that Brentford double's going ahead. Yep. But I'm almost certainly got this goalkeeper transfer, whether it's Flecken or whether it's Edison. That's almost certainly going to happen. Your face when I said Edison, by the way.
But, oh, it's just triggered bad memories.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But I've almost got that goalkeeper transfer planned in my head. So if, you know, you've got two free transfers and you don't know what to do, the Kelleher transfer is basically free. And if you've already got one planned for the future, you know, that was already planned anyway.
That's fair then. That's fair. I mean, you could have taken out Areola, but now you'll take out this guy, Kelleher.
That's a good point, actually. Because, yeah, I think it would be absolutely crazy if I removed Areola to free up a little bit of money. Also, there are things like, I mean, Alisson could get, this is very, you know, low percentage stuff, but if Alisson gets injured again, you know, he gets re-injured, let's say there's a 5% chance of that.
Yeah.
I guess you've got to factor all that stuff in as well, that maybe Kelleher would become like Lascelles. You know, you're warned off him because, I mean, if you don't go this week, I don't think you're going to look at it midweek and then do it then when there's one, possibly two games left.
Agreed.
So, yeah. So it's probably a bit of a niche one, but I personally, I don't hate it. But I like your caution.
So Jammer in the chat says, with wildcard to play, Kelleher is a good shot. I think for people with wildcard, I think it's a great shot.
100%.
You get three higher clean sheet odd fixtures. You get to go against the most disappointing template pick of Areola. Now, you could be burned. Areola could have a clean sheet and get bonus and get clean sheet points, save points, bonus points. So there is always that risk going against the template. But I think it's as good as a pick to go against the template if you wanted to.
I mean, that is why I said there could be hindsight in it, because there is obviously, there's a better chance at a clean sheet with a Liverpool goalie. But I mean, I'm very aware. I mean, Areola at home to Palace, I'm not panicking over that. Yeah. Like, I'd more than happily play it, and I wouldn't think twice if this gift hadn't, you know, or potential gift been dropped on our laps. And yeah, it could go wrong. You know, it could be another Livramento 2-pointer, Simicas 15-pointer. But just, you know, for goalkeepers, for example. But
exactly.
I need to stop mentioning that transfer.
Let's go to defenders.
Yeah.
A lot of people are sort of second guessing Cash. He started tonight. He is, if I'm not mistaken, still on the pitch. Now, the thing that is...
Moreno scored.
And Moreno plays on Dean's side. So that's... Mm-hmm. Moreno being fit is more of a concern for Dean owners, if there are any. Than Cash. But the concern for Cash would be simply that Diogo Carlos hasn't started and Pau Torres hasn't started and Konsa starts every game. So there is that little risk that they start with that same back three, which is, you know, Carlos, Konsa, Pau Torres, and on the left you play Dean, probably because Moreno can't start another game. So there is a little bit of rotation concern. There's anyway Villa's concern of being defensively not great. Would you take Cash out for someone this week? And actually, the bigger question, a lot of people have asked this, is somebody under 5 million? So, question to you.
So, I have actually been looking at defenders under 5 million because something I was thinking I could do Pedro to Archer. And then I've got, you know, maybe 5 million if I remove Maguire or someone.
Yep.
There's not really anyone because obviously Cole will, I mean, they're playing Brighton, home to Brighton. And we just don't know who's going to play in defence for Chelsea. I feel like we need a couple more weeks or we need to wait for James. So, and the Newcastle defence is just a mess at the moment with the cheap ones. I mean, there's more news on Botman today that was the same news as 3 weeks ago.
Same.
Yeah, I don't like any of the sub 5 million defenders. I really don't. I mean, Simicas
or Livramento?
I think it would be... I think I would gamble on Simicas if I didn't have him already. I mean, something I wouldn't like to have like Cash and Simicas.
Yeah.
Especially if my bench isn't that strong. I think they're quite similar players, but I'd rather have Simicas. I feel like there's a lot of question marks over Cash. Like, where is he going to play? You know, how many minutes is he going to play? The fixtures are not that great. I mean, I don't think away to Bournemouth is incredible.
Yeah.
He obviously, he's topping defenders, or he was topping defenders for, you know, XG and all that. But that's very much from the start of the season. That's completely dropped off in recent weeks. So... I'd want to sell him. I don't know who to. I mean, if you don't have Charlie Taylor, genuinely, I'd probably look to free up the money and just go right down there. Do you hate
that?
Well,
they probably need a starter as well, right? Because Cash has been starting. So it's the case of who do you go? It's tricky. I'm trying to find... I mean, I would say the ranking under 5 million as of right now would be Gabriel. And then maybe Simicas. I still like Livramento, man. I mean, basically, if you don't have to start them, he was so good against PSG again. of course, there's Lewis Hall, and
I hope to play right back.
He won't play right back because in a way, I think I see it as good news that he didn't play right back because Eddie Howe has said that he doesn't want to ruin their best creative player, which is Trippier, who plays right back. So I don't know. I'm not saying people should get Livramento. I'm saying Tsimikas is probably higher given the next three fixtures. You will get more upside. But yeah, I mean, I think he should be. I would certainly buy him over Lascelles because Botman could come back in a couple of weeks, and then you actually need to deal with him as well before blank game week 18.
No, I can agree with that. I mean, we went with Livramento because it did feel a bit more long term. I don't know. Maybe in my head, I just thought, you know, perfect world. Trippier moves to the left. He's nullified a little bit from an FPL point of view. Obviously, I'm not talking about football. And then you've got Livramento at right back. But yeah, I don't like the sales pick either. I think, yeah, Gabriel's a good shout. Obviously, I'd much rather have Saliba. There's so many knocks on defenders at the moment. I mean, Colwell, to be honest, I think he is going to get his spot back. But I just can't base that on much at the moment. That's the thing. I think you'd have to take a leap of faith if you're going to go there.
I see some comments in the chat. What do you think of Pinnock?
He's good for this week, but then he blanks. Like, I mean, he's incredible for this week, obviously at home to Luton.
Yeah, that's the problem with Pinnock. Basically, you will get him this week. He probably gets you a clean sheet this week, maybe even in game week 16 against Sheffield United. But then the problem is game week 18, you're sitting with Haaland, you're sitting with Bumo, you're sitting with Pinnock, your third striker is starting like Archer, your fifth defender like Charlie Taylor is starting. That game week 18 team looks very poor. And something, a point I made on the wire as well, that game week 18, we won't have any press conferences because the game week starts on a Thursday. So it will be even trickier to actually, you know, you're going with no bench, no visibility on press conferences. If there's a niggle, you can't react on it. It's just messy, which is why I think it's difficult to go Pinnock.
If it wasn't for the blank, I'd be keen on that because I know a couple of weeks ago I was looking at Dunk, and one of the reasons was because he's just absolutely nailed. And his immediate fixture, I think, for Brighton at the time was that Sheffield United game. So you've got this with Pinnock, haven't you? You've got the Luton at home game. I mean, down the line, you've got a possible double as well. But yeah, everything you say about game week 18, I mean, it'd probably suit you more if you were going to free hit in 18. And I don't know if we want to get too far into that because we probably don't have enough time. But
For another chat. I think the moves people are making this week are all pointing towards a free hit 18 or are making it more appealing. Because if you go Watkins to Darwin, you're basically losing the best captain of game week 18. If you're getting Mbeumo, you're getting a blanker for game week 18. If you're getting an Arsenal defender, they play away to Liverpool in game week 18. All these moves take you further away from having a better team in game week 18. Now, that's not the only thing. Obviously, there's fixtures around it. But just looking at it in isolation, game week 18 team is getting worse and worse given all the popular transfers we see.
Yeah, so it is definitely worth considering. And I mean, it does get me thinking, because not to go too much back to strikers, but another benefit of selling Watkins is no matter what, unless you're going to Haaland, you're freeing up money. You're definitely freeing up money. Then all those players we've talked about, like James and Porro and whoever we're looking at in a couple of weeks, that's going to make it an awful lot easier to do. So I guess that is a little benefit of losing Watkins. And to be honest, I did think that about Son earlier in the week. But that was specifically to go for Trent, and I've gone off that idea completely. But there are these two cash cows in our team, and they are Watkins and Son.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, I like, for example, in my comment section, Adam Gilks is saying Watkins to Darwin can fund Diaby to Bumo. I mean, that sounds all right.
That's the other thing, because there are a lot of people looking to get Mbeumo, aren't there? So that could fall well. It could backfire, but I think most transfers we're going to be doing now, unless you've got injured players, they can backfire, and they're going to have these big implications on 18. And I don't want to focus on 18 too much. I think it's really important to be aware of it. But if I'm going to have a really bad game week 17, like as in really bad game week 17, because I was hoping for a good 18, then I better hope 18's good. Otherwise, it's all that planning for the.
To be honest, Pinnock for that reason makes decent sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've covered... We haven't really gone through defenders. Midfielders, have we?
Yeah, let's go to midfielders.
This is the tricky one.
Well, the answer to every question, get Mbeumo.
To get Mbeumo. Yep. Possibly Palmer. I mean, should we start at Palmer? Like, where do you say you've got Mbeumo?
Well, let's start with Bowen, actually.
Okay, let's start with Bowen.
So Bowen, because I mean, I'm starting from the most expensive.
Okay.
And also, sounds Bowen's good. Like 50% EO. He's not in the squad today, but I think there were some rumors anyway that he's not going to be in the squad today. So it doesn't change anything. But the worrying thing, he has not been in training either. So let's say tomorrow is his first training session. I don't see how he just sort of starts the game ahead of a very busy fixture schedule. So what's your view? If you have Bowen, will you move him to Bumo or not?
I 100% would. I mean, there's obviously bias here because I've been so obsessed with the penalty takers, as you have with midfielders. So, I mean, to be honest, I would have done it last week as well, even though it was Arsenal. So this week, yeah, I definitely would. I mean, obviously it's Palace at home, then you've got Spurs away, Fulham away. I mean, they are good fixtures. You know, you look at that Spurs away fixture has definitely got, it's definitely improved to when, you know, a couple of weeks ago when people were buying Bowen. But I'd much rather have Mbeumo. I guess the thing is, if you're really struggling, let's say you've got one transfer, you've had another injury, maybe you could use that old mythology where you just have to ignore Mbeumo, like people had to with Salah in game week two. Do you remember that dilemma we had? Was it game week eight when we were stressing over Son? I think that was the one we did with Seb.
I do actually think that as a community, we've gone from heavily underrating Mbeumo in the first few game weeks to now heavily overrating him. I mean, he's not Salah. People are reacting as if he's a 7 million Salah. Now, he's good. His data is actually close to
stats,
Salah.
I was going to say, stats aren't far off.
but look, I think long term, he's fine. And he does blank in game week 18. So I think it's closer between Bowen and Mbeumo than what the pressure for people feeling it. So if you told me right now that Bowen's starting on the weekend, I would think about it a little bit more. And I would ask who your other midfielder is. So for example, there's somebody in the comments who says they have Eze and Bowen. I think if you can find a way to upgrade Eze to a Mbeumo, or even getting down to a Palmer, again, assuming that Bowen is fit, I think that's not the end of the world, or even a Gordon. So I'll come to the Gordon question after. So for me, Bowen is okay. And I think he's got good fixtures for the long term if he's completely fit. But the main point is he completely fit? If you're still in the dark up on Friday and there is doubts around him and Mbeumo is right here, he's cheaper, he's playing Luton at home, then you probably do it.
Yeah, I think it's like you say, it's that if. Whereas we don't have that if, and touch wood, we don't get that if with Mbeumo. But I can understand, I mean, sometimes in this game, you do just have to skip past. I mean, there's going to be FOMO. I mean, we've been guilty, we've been talking about Mbeumo for weeks and, you know, saying, get him in, you know, ahead of that Luton game. But sometimes I guess you do just have to be brave and go against it. So I think, yeah, if you're looking at doing like a -8, to get Mbeumo in because you've got loads of injuries, that's probably where I'd draw the line. Actually, even at a -4. Also, I guess you have to ask yourself, if you've not gone for Mbeumo, there must have been, you know, a reason for it if you've not planned to get him in. So maybe you weren't that high on him. And then you're going to have that feeling where you're going to just, you know, have regret if you go for it. I mean, just personally, I would, you know, if I have a free transfer, I'd go there.
I would as well. But yeah, look, I think there's one massive hit to Boomer's potential that people should be aware of, which is the game week 20 double that we were assuming is happening. The likelihood, I mean, I'm quoting Ben Krellin, has gone from like 80-90% to 60%. And there is also now discussion that even if it happens, is he called up for AFCON and he misses the second game of the double? So now what you're looking at is why Mbeumo was great and it was worth even holding him for the blank was because not only does he play Luton, not only does he play Sheffield United, he has a double coming up after the blank. That's not the case, or that may not be the case, or there's a lower likelihood of that being the case, which means that he was a sell anyway. You have to sell him before he goes for AFCON. You might have to sell him before the blank. So therefore, Mbeumo becomes a four-week option. And then if you only fix it on the 4 weeks, then maybe you decide that, you know, it's not worth a -8 to get a Mbeumo. I can just do it. I can just live with a Bowen if he's fit.
Yeah, I guess you will have this FOMO there every week, wouldn't you? I mean, when it goes, they've got Brighton afterwards, then it's Sheffield United, admittedly both away. But yeah, it's a good point you make as well on, you know, imagine that double doesn't happen or it's just a single for Mbeumo. It would have mean all this talk about him for weeks and weeks would have been for very little.
Yeah. Also a negative for Pinnock, by the way.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, I guess another thing with this is, like, we were talking about, you'll say he's your favourite option. And I think, I mean, because midfielders have been dropping like flies, like the alternatives, you know, the people went for Eze, people went for Bowen before going for Bumo. There's not actually many midfielders you'll go for. As in, the number of good midfielders has dropped. I mean, maybe some people will say now Hwang's on penalties, maybe he's another option. But I don't see why you'll go for him over in Bumo.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think if I'm thinking of midfielders that are around that price bracket, Martinelli comes to mind, but Arsenal has disappointed more recently in terms of their attacking data, despite winning 6-0 midweek. But he's still a good pick. Szoboszlai, I mean, in this tough fixture period, he'll probably get a lot of minutes because he just gets 90 minutes for Liverpool a lot. He's still on corners and set pieces. So, but yeah, there's not much apart from that. So you just hope that Bowen's fit, otherwise Bumo. So I think we've done enough Bumo praise. So let's go down now.
I just had really quick thought, and I probably should have done research into this before I asked. But I'm assuming Hwang's going to the Asia Cup in January.
He is.
So I guess you have to be a little bit careful, because I was just thinking that, I mean, if Salah goes to AFCON, you've got Son going. If you've got Mbeumo, then you go Hwang. I mean, that does put, I guess, people like Palmer's stock up, people like Saka's stock up, because, and I know I'm moving ahead with midfielders here, but potentially you could have four very good assets on penalties who are all going to be gone come January.
Correct. And there's others that we haven't even considered yet. Like, you know, people are looking at Lyle Foster. Obviously, he's not playing anymore. Or Semenyo. These guys are also leaving for AFCON. So you need to sort of think about the broader context of your team, but I don't think there's any other very popular. Obviously, Sun.
Semenyo is a good point, actually, because I know some people looking at their third striker. I mean, some people have been talking about downgrading whoever they've got as a third striker to Semenyo instead of Archer.
Correct.
But again, that probably puts Archer, I was going to say in a league above, but you know, that probably does put Archer, you know, above Semenyo, just because, you know, he's going to be staying. He's going to be getting his 2 points every week.
Exactly. So then there's Gordon. I think a lot of people have Gordon and they're thinking either to fund him, use him to upgrade to Bumo, or downgrade him to a Palmer to get funds for an Mbeumo or someone else. So I guess my question to you is, I know your answer, but you need to... This is why we're too similar in terms of the whole penalty thing. But anyway, if you have a Gordon, he's doing well. Newcastle's fixtures, you know, the home game against Man United is decent. Do you have to sell him this week for a Palmer or a Bumo, or can you hold him?
I mean, you can hold him, but you know my answer already. I would sell. Again, I wouldn't start doing hits for it or anything, and I've got nothing against Gordon, but I just don't see why. I mean, I definitely wouldn't be buying him. There's other players I'd buy, but obviously you're mentioning selling, which is, it's trickier, but...
To fund something. I think as a hold, he's a fine hold. But if you need to fund, if he's the only slot you have that you can use to get a Bumo, should you do that? Or if he's the slot where you can get some money out to upgrade, let's say you have Eze and Gordon, right? So you could go Eze down to Palmer and then Gordon could go become Mbeumo. Would you do that or not? And I think, I mean, you've had a first crack, so I can maybe give a view. Maybe taking him up to Bumo could be worth it, but not downgrading him into a Palmer, because I think Palmer is fine, but I think his numbers are very similar to Palmer. So Palmer and Gordon are very similar. So then you're basically saying one is on pens and one is not. Is that worth a transfer? I don't really think so now. You can probably hold him and do that a little bit later.
No, I can agree with that. I mean, I do feel like when we look at, I mean, we're very biased again, but the five midfielders that we've got, I do feel like Palmer is not the weak. Well, Palmer's the one I'm the least excited about. I like having him in my team, but I mean, that's purely, you know, it's price and penalties. And his non-penalty stats are still pretty good. And obviously the upcoming fixtures are good. But yeah, I feel like he's the one I'm not like, I wouldn't be desperate. Like, I have to get Palmer. I think it would just be, like you say, if it's enabling something else. I mean, let's say I had one transfer. I wouldn't be doing Gordon to Palmer this week, for example. I'd much prefer Rowling. And again, I guess that then brings you back to the argument is, I'm starting to think more about this now. Just downgrading Watkins does free up money in a different way. I don't know if I regret saying that, though, or regret doing it if I do.
It's in your head now. It's in your head. It's in a lot of people's heads because... You needed that money and that money can be found this way. But just remember, you won't have that money to get him back. So Are you comfortable not having Watkins if he starts this week and he continues to start? Maybe the answer is yes.
That's the thing. But ultimately, I know, because I know there's a lot of questions always about, you know, if money was no option, who would you go for? These kind of things. But I mean, this whole game is about money and it's about budget.
Correct.
And that's why Palmer's such a good asset. I mean, I did look at what would be the best wild card if funds were unlimited. And I mean, it didn't have Palmer in. It was actually Odegaard over Palmer. So it was Mbeumo, Son, Saka, Salah and Odegaard. Palmer was in about 2%. So he actually did appear quite highly considering, you know, how cheap he is. But he's not like in the top five midfielders in the game.
Agreed.
He's just very, very cheap.
I mean, I think we've offended some Gordon owners. I just want to say he's also a very, very good pick. For me, I think he's similar to Palmer, except for the set pieces. And I think Mbeumo back to Gordon will be a very popular move in game week 17 or 18 if Mbeumo is not doubling. So I think he'll be back in a lot of teams because, you know, he's getting the minutes. He's getting time up front at the end of the games when Isak is subbed off. So, and Newcastle are scoring 3-4 goals every game, especially at home.
Yeah, and something we're having to do as well. I mean, the players are so lowly priced and a lot of the asset, like we said earlier, like if you transfer someone out for someone else that's not injured, you know, it could backfire. We're having to split hairs, you know, between players. And a lot of these, we're not splitting hairs. We're splitting this player has penalties and this player doesn't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got nothing against Bowen. I've got nothing against Gordon. You know, I understand why people have got them. You know, they're great picks, but I just prefer other players who happen to have penalties.
Yeah, I'm with you. And minutes, right? And, so yeah. There's comments in the chat on Nkunku. Firstly, Nkunku hasn't even made the bench yet, right? So we need to first let him make the bench, let him have a couple of cameos. Once he starts starting, then let's see what the position is. Is he playing instead of Jackson? Is Jackson playing instead of Gallagher? And then there is a third assumption. Does Nkunku take penalties or not of Palmer? I think the base case assumption is probably not. Palmer's done pretty well. So there's a lot of ifs and buts if you're trying to justify not getting Palmer because Nkunku may be back. So just one thing to remember.
Yeah, I mean, the timeline on Nkunku, I remember about a month ago, someone said, I think it was a journalist, I can't remember their name though, but they said if he gets to play before Christmas, like before Boxing Day or the end of the year, like get some minutes, that would be like positive. So doesn't really feel like that timeline's changed very much. Because he's definitely not going to be starting soon.
It's going to be difficult to see him starting, but then games are coming thick and fast. Mm-hmm. So it takes him 1 week when he's on the bench, gets 20 minutes, and then suddenly he becomes an option for someone to be considering not to buy, but what does it impact Palmer and things like that. But I think it's a little bit over exaggerated.
What do you think of Sterling, by the way? And I'm just going to put Rob T's screen on while we talk about that, because I've just had it on our team for a while, so that's a bit boring. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about Sterling, really. Like, what do you think about him? How does he fit in? Because obviously it's one of these non-penalty takers.
He's a good pick for the fixture run that they have. Mm. So again, when I talked about Mbeumo out to someone, I think that could be Sterling, that could be Gordon, that could be Diaby if he's still getting minutes for Villa. I think he's one of those good options. I mean, he's shown now pedigree in taking free kicks, which I didn't know he could. I think he's good, but I don't think he's better than a penalty taker in the same team who's almost similar in terms of his role. Now, Sterling will be a goal scorer. Palmer will be an assister. But then when you add set pieces, corners, you'd add penalties and the price, I would still take Palmer.
Yeah, Sterling on penalties would have been disgusting. As in, I think we'd be talking about him above Mbeumo. I think almost certainly, to be honest.
I mean,
it's not going to happen. So I'm hypothetical situation now, but that was our hope, or it was definitely my hope, you know, a couple of months ago, and it was very wrong.
Well, let's see. I mean, he's still non-pen XG is okay. It's not Mbeumo levels. So, but his fixtures have been tough over the more recent past. So we'll see. I think Chelsea is a little bit of an unknown, but this week you can still back them to have a good game because Brighton are without Dunk. They've just played today. Chelsea have had a full week's rest. So we will see how these things work out. But Brighton are still a good team. So you never know how that game pans out.
Yeah. I mean, Chelsea this week, 2.05 expected goals, which is pretty good. I mean, none of the away teams. I mean, Villa are the highest in the away teams, 1.85. So, I mean, it's right up there. So I'm more than happy playing Palmer this week. And Palmer over Pedro, if they both had 90, I'd play Palmer this week. especially like you say, without Dunk, that must be, you know, those numbers must take that into account as well.
That's huge. That's huge. And Brighton have been away. Haven't they been in Greece? Where
did they play today? They'll be flying back to Greece from Greece shortly. Yeah.
That's a long flight. So that's a good fixture for Chelsea.
And then I think have we got time for captain?
Okay, we've already talked strikers because we talked about Watkins, Darwin. So people who are interested in the striker chat, you can go back to that section. Five people have asked how long is Eze out for. I think he's out for three, four weeks. So he's a sell unless you have other problems. So go on, tell me, what do you think about captaincy?
So, I mean, all the projections seem to have them 50-50. Like, absolutely 50-50. I'm on Haaland at the moment, and I don't think I'm going to change yet, but I was trying to think how I can justify this earlier, but I can't really. It's, you know, it's a coin flip, and with stuff like that, I don't want to put too much energy into it because it is literally that, and I just fancy Haaland this week. There's a lot of narrative behind that. I mean, obviously, with the Spurs injuries, you know, we saw, you know, the Spurs-Villa game as well. Yeah, I just want to go Haaland. I wish I could put together, you know, a much more compelling argument and, you know, compare stats. You know, I've seen that Liverpool, actually Salah, has better home stats than Haaland, all of that kind of stuff that's been floating around. But
it's a narrative. I mean, ultimately, when two things are heads or tails, I can give you stories like Haaland in the last five home games has done this, or Salah in the last 5 years, every time he's played in game week 13 has done X. This is all stories we're telling each other. It's heads or tails. I think given that Salah started today, I see slight dip in his, I'm talking now the you know, the model outputs. He's dripped slightly, but it's still 50-50, man. I mean, his home record is fantastic this year. It's actually better than Haaland's. Fulham's a slightly worse team, or not slightly, but defensively they're a worse team than Spurs. But then Spurs have massive injuries. For me particularly, it's not about EO, it's not about anything else. I just think Haaland is a 260, 270 type player. He has a hat trick in him in any game. So there has to be a convincing reason for me to go against Haaland. And there is no convincing reason. It's a 50-50, so I'm going to stick with Haaland. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and I've also got they're not non-FPL reasons, but I've got a few people I know in mini leagues who've gone without Haaland and they've shot above me. So part of me sees this as an opportunity as well, while they've not got Haaland in a coin flip, that I could, you know, go Haaland and just hope to get lucky. I mean, we look at even this, you mentioned the models, but even this from Rob T, it's like Liverpool projected to get 2.7 goals, the same as City. Fulham and Tottenham both have a 7% chance of keeping a clean sheet. So even, you know, the total team goals, I've seen, you know, first goal scorer odds, you know, Haaland's favoured to score more, but Salah's obviously got the better assist threat. And there's going to be all the stuff, you know, obviously Salah can get an extra point for goals, Salah can get a clean sheet, but then Haaland gets better bonus points. I just think if someone told me one of them's going to get a hat-trick, and this is narrative, I just think it would be Haaland. That just seems much more likely to me.
I agree. I mean, look at the Everton game, right? That Liverpool, again, now we're going into the story, exactly what I warned against last time. Yeah. But look at the Everton game. We expected it to be a thrashing. It ended up being a game where Salah got a penalty, and then in the last minute he got that goal. So a little bit of game state, but he ended up getting 15 points. But, you know, it's not like they were completely banging down the door, and it was just not the same thing. And I think Liverpool is an excellent attack. I just also think that, you know, City, focal point, Haaland playing in the middle, playing against an Ange team that is going to attack throughout, even if they're 3-1 or something. It's just good. It's just nice.
Yeah. No, I think we're on the same page here. And I can't see anything that would make me change. I mean, obviously, apart from the obvious, like we get a rumour that Haaland might not start, which I don't think that's likely to happen. I just can't see a reason. I feel like last season I went for Salah a lot. I'll just go for Salah no matter what at the start of the season. And it punished me. And now I feel like I'm going to captain Haaland, and I kind of want a reason to go Salah over him when it's this close anyway.
Having said that, it's a Saturday afternoon deadline in the UK. So I figure right now all my attention is on Friday press conferences. I'll have Friday night, Saturday morning to think about it a little bit more and then take a punt. So I think, or take a pick. at the moment, so I would say I'm only like 50-60% in my thinking process. Maybe that's all you need. You don't need to overthink it. But yeah, I think I'll think about captaincy more on a Saturday morning, I feel.
Yeah, no, I can get that. I mean, I sometimes, I have to be honest, I get like a rush of blood to the head last minute and I'll just stick it on Salah. I just yeah. don't see it happening this time.
People in the comments, would you ever, again, I know your answer, but I need to ask.
Would you captain, you know why as well.
Yeah, would you captain Darwin at any, you know, if I told you Darwin's playing 90 minutes against Fulham?
No, and you know why. Again it's the penalty. Penalties. And
I'll be a little bit more, I mean, I will say he has hat-trick potential in that game because he's going to play up front, and if he's playing 90 minutes. But for me, the issue is less about the penalty, but the issue is more that Liverpool plays Sunday, midweek, Saturday, that if they're 2-0 ahead or 3-0 ahead, there's a chance that Klopp just says, okay, I need to get Gakpo back on the pitch, and I need to play Curtis Jones on the right so that Salah gets a little break, because so that minutes thing also comes into it, because they get a much fewer rest time in between these three games than Man City.
I mean, I think the only time I'd consider captaining Darwin will be during AFCON. And to be honest, I haven't looked at the fixtures yet. I mean, I think he's obviously when Salah's not there, maybe the chance of that would go up. But no, if I'm not going to captain Salah, I'm not going to captain Darwin, if that makes sense. And I know that's you. Really, really boring.
I was just being devil's advocate.
It feels like something like Pranil would do like a couple of years ago, and it would pay off. And it would, honestly, it would be fun. But I've got doubts about even bringing him in for Watkins, who, you know, we've talked about it already. Like, so no, I think going as a captain, I think that would be too strong for me. I just don't think.
Although
some
might do it, I can see it now. Some might do it, but yeah, it's not going to be someone on this podcast.
And you're not just betting on Darwin; you're betting against Salah. If that's the way you want to go, I mean, if you've got Salah and Darwin, I can understand you're probably chasing upside. And mate, actually, that might be a scenario I'd captain Salah. If I had Salah, Darwin, and let's add Salah, Darwin, and Tsimikas,
yeah,
because the absolute ceiling on that, you know, if the coin flips on tails and Liverpool destroy Fulham and City, you know, struggle against Spurs, that's where you could get a really like favourable outcome.
Yeah, you make 50 points on the average.
Yeah, with gambling, but yeah. But anyway, we've gone. Well, we've nearly gone for an hour, Praz.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, let's end it now. Minutes. And we had nothing to talk about, remember, at the beginning. But no, it's been good. It's been a good chat. I think we're ready. All about the Watkins news tomorrow, if we get any. So we will see.
Yeah. No, I think that's the main one. I mean, you're all set. You've got your transfer. You need to decide your captain. I still don't know what I'm doing. But this is, honestly, talking to you on a Thursday, I've been looking forward to it all day because it does help.
Thank you.
It does help.
No, likewise.
But yeah, and don't, for those watching, don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks for joining us on X. And remember that there's you get a 1 week free trial. Praz has already said the hack where sign up on Saturday and you'll get basically two sets of game week data.
Three game weeks.
Saturday
late deadline, you get the midweek and the early deadline for the next Saturday.
Nice. And then if you continue, you get 20% off as well.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Perfect. All right then, Praz. Well, I'm guessing we're back next Thursday, I assume.
We will. I think so. Yes. Think, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We might be back next Thursday. I think we are. But thanks again for joining us. And Praz, I'll see you next week or soon.
Take care, everyone.